Welcome to the jungle. We start our third hour. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. And you probably know this, but I'm in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Had a couple of really nice football interviews last hour. We had Mike Holmgren, Super Bowl winning head coach. Quadri Olsen, Panthers senior running back. Coming up later on this hour, Saints linebacker Alex Anzalone. So you should call me now before we get to that and get through. 1-800-636-8686. We talked about the Monday night matchup. I talked about Caris LeVert and how devastating that injury was. And I'm not going to replay that. I don't want to see it again. I wish I could unsee what I saw. It's one of the only things about my job that I do not like. I've seen too many of those devastating injuries. I'm not going to rank that injury with other so-called devastating injuries, except to say it's one of the worst ever. And then you get pretty good news. Given what happened last night and the optics of it, I would say a dislocation without a fracture and moderate ligament damage, not requiring surgery, and the fact that he might make it back this season is pretty damn good news. Really good news. On top of that, Nate Peet. Pour one out for Nate Peet. Pour one out for Nate Peet. Nobody did it like Nate Peet. His time is done. It's finished in Buffalo. I would imagine in the NFL. But let me ask you this. Has any quarterback ever done it bigger than one Nathan, Michael, Peterman? The answer to that is no. He was a supernova. I told the story of DeMar DeRozan. Actually, I didn't. Bleacher Report did. And the story about how he found out he was being traded to San Antonio was pretty amazing. He was at a Jack in the Box, and it was so devastating in that moment that he stayed there another 2 hours. But all is well that ends well. He's balling out with San Antonio. And last night's game was much better than I thought. I'll give you that. Let's go ahead and take a moment and play a game of Remember When. Remember When. Remember when the most disrespectful thing somebody said about Carmelo Anthony was, who would you rather have, Melo or Kyle Korver? Remember when? That was back when the Thunder were going one and done against the Jazz in the postseason, and Melo was getting memed on social when the following post went viral. Quote, who would have ever thought during the 2003 draft that 15 years down the line, Kyle Korver would be a better NBA player than Carmelo Anthony. End quote. Do you remember that famous post? Because in that moment, Melo played the best D of his entire life after he saw it. Dude may as well have done the social media equivalent of slapping the floor after he saw that post. I mean, my man squared up, dropped his hips, got on the balls of his feet, and turned himself into Instagram's version of the glove, Gary Payton, when he jumped into the comments with his verified blue checkmark account and hit that post with the following, quote, wow, three crying face emojis, then, quote, had to comment on this one. And then the letters, F-O-H, as in, get the bleep out of here. Now that there was less than 6 months ago. That was late May. And being compared to Kyle Korver and having your postseason last only six games felt like rock bottom. Like it was never going to get worse than that. But now it's mid-November. And now his regular season may only be lasting 10 games. Now that is rock bottom. Yesterday, the Rockets' official injury report listed Melo as out with a, quote, illness. Now, I'm not going to roll out and tell you that Daryl Morey or Mike D'Antoni or whichever team doctor makes that determination is a liar. I'm not saying that. I have no idea. I'm not there. I literally have no idea. Maybe he was running a fever. Maybe he had a scratchy throat. Maybe his sinuses have been killing him. Maybe his allergies kicked up. Or maybe it's what we all thought from the jump, that this was a terrible decision and a really bad fit. Remember, Mark Stein from the New York Times came on yesterday. He broke the news that Melo was, according to multiple sources, done in Houston. Today, Woj is reporting the same thing, and that Melo's, quote, reps are exploring possible landing spots, end quote, for him. I'm telling you, at this rate, we're a couple of days away from him joining Jimmer Fredette in China. Listen, the worst part about this is not that Melo is on his fourth squad in the last 18 months. It's that he's making everybody forget that he used to be one of the best basketball players on the planet. I mean, say what you want about Melo. I'm not saying this guy was a great leader. I'm not saying this guy was a great two-way player. I'm not saying this guy was a great teammate. I'm not saying this is the best guy ever. I'm saying this guy was one of the greatest offensive players in a pretty damn good offensive era. He did play in 10 All-Star games. He was All-NBA six times. He was a scoring champ. He's got a stack of gold medals. But in the past 18 months alone, he's also added the following lines to his basketball resume, his basketball life. Disaster in that no-trade situation, in that standoff with the Knicks. Opt-in nightmare and potential tax deduction for the Thunder. Immediate write-off and waive for the Atlanta Hawks. And if all the reporting out there is true, a 10-game debacle for the Rockets. Look, I'm not going to hang that slow start entirely on Melo in Houston. It's not all his fault. But that does not mean that bringing him in was not a bad decision, because it was. He's been struggling to even match his career-worst stats from last year. But then again, that's who this guy is right now. Daryl Morey might be the smartest guy in the NBA. He might be. But even a genius cannot change a dude like Melo after 16 years. And all of a sudden, he is an old 34. And it's not like it happened overnight either. And look, I'm never going to stop anybody from earning a paycheck. Especially, and even though he's made as much money as he's made, the veteran's minimum is still nothing to sneeze at. So I'm not going to try and stop that guy from doing that. But we're at the point right now where even the jokes are not as funny as they are sad. And if you've been living off that one natty that you won at Syracuse like 40 years ago, and all those gold medals that you gravy trained with the other legends of USA basketball, when you were good, you were great, and you had a good run. And generally, the guy himself is the last one to know it's over. That guy usually needs somebody to tell him it's over. That guy normally needs somebody to deliver the bad news. So I'm here to help. My man, it's pretty much over. It actually has been for a minute or so. It did not work out in the end in New York. It did not work out in OKC. It did not work out in Atlanta. It's not working out in Houston. And if it can't work out in any of these spots, it's not going to work out anywhere else either. So what I'm saying is, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me, Melo. But there is a beach out there, and you should be on it. Happy trails. This is ending really badly. I hate to see guys like that bouncing around at the end of their careers. Because when you think about this guy, you tell me, when you think about Melo, and I go, snapshot. Close your eyes. Snapshot. How do you see this guy? What uniform do you see him in? How are you going to remember him? You know, I don't want to see a guy at the very end of a Hall of Fame career bouncing around wearing wacky uniforms where he spends 10 games at a time or 10 minutes at a time in. It's not the way you want to remember a guy like that. I'm not saying you got to spend your entire career with one team. I am saying you should not spend the last year and a half of your career with five teams, especially if you're a Hall of Famer. So that should be it. We'll see. Again, those guys are usually the last ones to know. And Houston keeps denying it. But when you've got guys like Woj and Mark Stein reporting it, pretty credible sources, well-sourced, credible reporters, it's probably true. And when a guy misses a couple of games, quote, for an illness, it's probably true. Hawk, why do you look so sad, man? At SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, Melo or Korver, the best in the 03 draft. Wow. Get the bleep out of here. FOH, sincerely, Darko. Good point. Hey, Rome, when Hawk is done with that dead squirrel on his lip, can I have it? I need a new hairdo. Signed, Jeremy Piven. Steven PHX. Ari Goldsmack. FOH, Steve. the hell out of here, Steve. Unwore adults at Costco who asked the old lady how much longer until the samples will be ready.
No.
Y'all waste so much time on the stupidest things. You have any idea how much better your life would be if you weren't focused on things like that? That'd be like me complaining about that dude who's in the Starbucks every single morning who has set up shop, his base of operations. I don't know why he's there. I don't know why my man's got a mouse at Starbucks. I mean, I don't know if he's working. Like, I want to say he's working a screenplay, but he's not because he's got some spreadsheet up. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe he wants the free Wi-Fi. Maybe he wants some adult interaction. I don't know. I just know that he's there every morning when I go in there. But I don't care. It's got no impact on me at all. Just like it's got no impact on the old lady who sadly has to work still at that age at Costco and whether or not the free samples are coming out. Do a self-audit, man. Steve, do a self-audit. Think about how much time you spend every single day. Think about how much time you waste every single time, every single day, trying to come up with something you think is clever to be on this show, but never is. And then think about if you really applied yourself to something that mattered, how much further along you'd be. I'm here to help, Steve. I really am. Because you're not helping me or this show. Johnny Scabs wants in. He tweets, Jimmy, can't wait to see Carmelo score 100 points on MTV Rockin' Jock while being guarded by Michael Rapaport and Lil Bow Wow. Right? See, now that works because that's real and that could happen at the rate he's going. And then he can go, man's game, bitch, after he lights up Lil Bow Wow. Mellow, you're mellow, man. Well, you were. Dear Rome, even I don't want Melo. Signed, Cuban, the big three. John in Huntington Beach. John in Huntington Beach signed Cuban, the big three. Even he doesn't want him. It's not that bad. Batman's having a big day. Hey, Rome, lay off Melo. He's giving us some quality time. Signed, Cinnamon and Stardust. Aaron in Omaha, wore some quality father-son bonding over one Jimothy Rome. Aaron, do you have a kid? Aaron, you have kids. All right, let me make sure I have this right, Aaron. You've got a son, at least one, and the two of you are bonding over listening to me, and you're sending emails to me about strippers, and you and your kid are bonding over that. All right. I have had a lot of guys call the show and say, my dad used to make me listen to the show in the pickup truck back in the day, Rome. And then you have that, some bonding. Maybe that's what that is. It's not a kid's show. Never has been a kid's show. My kids don't listen to the show. Then again, they've got no interest in the show. They don't care. The only time my boys really showed any interest is when Logan found out about the Rat family. And then he was all about the show. All day, every day. And then once I made it clear to him the Rat family's not coming back, he lost interest.
Rogan Loam.
Rogan Loam.
Rogan Loam.
Took me about 2 weeks to get him off the Rat Pack. Again, son, it's not the Rat Pack, it's the Rat family, and it's not coming back anyway, so it doesn't matter. Here, give me your phone. Give me your phone. Let me find you something. And then I showed him the rundown of the rats, and that kept him entertained for about an hour. But then he wanted more, like rat pellets. Give me more, Dad. Bring them back. Why not? Hey, Dad, who's this guy? He looks exactly like a rat. I know, son. They all do. But that was then, and this is now, and it's no longer appropriate, and they're not coming back. You were born, Junior, 15 years too late. Now, if you had been born back then, you should have seen your old man get nice. All right, still ahead. Alex Anzalone, Saints linebacker. And I'm still looking for a phone call. I mean, a good phone call. I get phone calls all day, every day. But I'm looking for the right phone call. The kind that can win a golden ticket. The kind that can get racked. The kind of call that the flight deck would take and drop onto Facebook. And tens of thousands of people would like. Do any of you have that kind of game? Do any of you have that kind of game? Building pros, listen up. If you're a contractor or a builder or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you're going to need for all your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing and dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. You might be wondering about selection and availability. You should not be, because Lumber Liquidators has over 150 million square feet. Try and wrap your head around that number. 150 million square feet of flooring available and 100,000 square feet in stock in most of their stores. On top of that, they stock professional-grade adhesives, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, grout, so you can get exactly what you need when you have to have it. And they can even get you a business line of credit. Put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or lumberliquidators.com/prosales. Again, lumberliquidators.com/prosales today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome podcast tomorrow, the original podcast. Movie maker Billy Corbin's going to be my guest, and he's got a new movie called Screwball. I watched it yesterday. It's funny. It's really funny. It's as funny as the roid era could be in Major League Baseball. And you can tell by the title of it, kind of where he comes out with it and the way he approached it. A-Rod's right in the middle of it. Does not look good at all for A-Rod. Man Ram. Anything that involves Man Ram taking drugs is of interest to me. Tony Bosch, Biogenesis, that thing needs a little bit of room to breathe. So that's going to be tomorrow. Jim Rome podcast drops tomorrow. Look for that. Dear Rome, I remember when Carmelo was a factor. I was just a young lad listening to the Jim Rome show, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Kurt Warner was in the final chapter of a great career. Ken Griffey Jr. was still playing ball and doing steroids. And Vic Inokal was actually a factor on Smackoff Day. Man, those were the days. Tyler in Shredminton. Tyler, you got to be careful about what you're throwing out there. Ken Griffey Jr. was still playing ball and doing steroids? Griffey and roids. How do you know that? How can you just throw that out there? Anyway. Speaking of roids, that's really interesting that he said that right after I said what I said about tomorrow's episode of the Jim Rome podcast. Now, there were guys doing roids, to be sure. Guys associated with Biogenesis. Guys like Man Ram. Guys like A-Rod. And it's an amazing part of this movie where A-Rod says, he gets a meeting with Tony Bosch, and A-Rod says, and A-Rod had already been busted. A-Rod had already lied on national TV about roids. And then he gets a meeting with Bosch, and he says, give me what you gave Manny. And he had already been busted. And that A-Rod wanted to get to 800 home runs. And then the only thing more amazing is how despicable that was, and how bad that guy looked, and the fact that everybody hated A-Rod is now everybody loves A-Rod. And why is that? Because it all comes around because of his celebrity girlfriend. Because he ends up on TV and talks baseball pretty intelligently? I really don't know. But if you watch this movie, you won't love A-Rod. But no, Junior, Ken Griffey Jr. was not linked, Tyler. Until you linked him to roids. Junior, that's not me. That's Tyler in Shredminton. He can own that one. He can wear that. He said, I remember like it was yesterday. I was a young lad listening to the Jim Rome show. Kurt Warner in the final chapter of a great career. Vic and Nocow, actually a factor on Smackoff Day. Man, those were the days. Tyler in Shredminton. Robert tweets, hey, Mello, would you mind stepping outside the vehicle and check out the brake lights? Sincerely, the Rockets team bus. Shouldn't end like that. It shouldn't end like that in the middle of a season after 10 games. Jeff 2 tweets, Mello, don't listen to Rome. It's nowhere near over. Yours, Seattle Seahawks legend, Jerry Rice. That's the risk you run. Hey, listen, when I think of Jerry Rice, I think of him as a 49er. When I think of Jerry Rice, I think of a few things. Him being a 49er, him running that hill, him getting as much out of his ability as anybody ever has, and him coming on the set and wanting to lotion up his feet before an interview with us. All true stories. My man was a little bit different. Different, and by different, I mean in all the millions of interviews I've done, nobody ever asked for foot lotion before we started our conversation. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Weird stuff. But an amazing player. I mean, I can make an argument that he's in the top five NFL players ever. And no, I don't think of him as a Seattle Seahawk, but you run that risk. When you're bouncing around, putting on uniforms that don't look right, and you're trying to hang on, and you're chasing something, whether it's you're padding stats, you're chasing the ring, you're chasing money, they've got to rip that jersey off your chest, whatever it is, you run that risk of wrecking your legacy. Now, that said, it's their legacy. If they want to wreck their legacy, let them. It's their legacy. It's not ours. But you don't want to think about Melo being a Rocket for 10 games. I mean, you can think about him as a Nugget. You can think about him as a Nick. You can think about him as a Syracuse Orange man. You can think about him being a member of Team USA. I don't want to think about Melo spending four games with some scrub-like team at the bottom of the conference. But if the rate he's going, that's what's going to happen. If they're, quote, exploring their options, what options are left? 1-800-636-8686. Fabian, you never know what you're going to get from Fabian. Let's find out. Los Angeles, Fabian. Fabian, what's up?
Romy, what's up with that dude, Quadre Addison, man? Doggy Dog says, you know, even way more than I do. What's up with that man? You know.
That's not a good call. No.
You
don't like that call.
I don't like that.
All right, so now we have a fake silk.
Not a very good call.
And a fake silk. And a fake Fabian. That was not Fabian. I knew right away that was not Fabian. That dude was way too lucid to be Fabian. There was no way that was Fabian. It's just some guy calling up pretending to be Fabian going, you know. Is that where we are right now? We've gotten to the point where nobody's going to call with their own original take. They're just going to call up and pretend to be other callers. How long before I get a fake Matt in L.A.? The fake Fabian. We had the false Wanka back in the day. Fake silk. Fake silk. And now fake Fabian. Anybody else I'm forgetting? Wow. Let's try Lou in Sacramento. Nice to have you, Lou. How are you?
Jim, how you doing, mate? Thanks for the vine.
You got it.
Yeah, it's troubled times up here in NoCal with the fires. But I'm really calling in to give a shout-out to the Sacramento Kings, the unexpected story of the NBA season so far. I know it's early days just now, but De'Aaron Fox is playing like an all-star, and they've got a really deep bench, and they're all contributing. And it's, the bandwagon is circling downtown. It's exciting times up here. Like I said, it's still early days. I think, on hindsight, the Saturday night game with the Lakers should have been postponed because the smoke in the arena, it really was smoke from paradise. And I know we got our ass kicked by the butthole Lakers, but quick shout out to all those poor people in paradise. I work up there pretty often. I work with disabled veterans. And what they're going through is a bit of a nightmare right now. So all my thoughts and prayers are with those guys up there. And that's all I got for now. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lou, very much. You take care, too, and I appreciate your thoughts. And Paradise is a small town that literally was wiped out by the fire, the entire town. Really, really sad. Really, really sad and tragic. Terrible. And here in Southern California, so that's Northern California. Here in Southern California, right around the area where I grew up, the 818, Agora Hills, Thousand Oaks, Malibu, and so many people. I know a family that lost their home. I know friends that have dealt with this. And most of the people that I know understand that it's just like Gabe Kapler was saying this. Gabe Kapler lost his home. And he was in Malibu and he's talking about it. And Gabe Kapler, I think, had the best perspective. He said, it's just things. They're just things. things are replaceable. You can rebuild a home. You know, some people lost some things that cannot be replaced. They cannot be rebuilt. It's just, it's really scary. Here in Southern California and in Northern California, we're accustomed to natural disasters, earthquakes, mudslides, certainly fires, but nothing like this. It has been a really tragic, challenging time. All right, when we come back, one last segment, we'll have a conversation with, I appreciate your thoughts, Lou. Thanks for making that phone call. And then even on top of that, he had to get in, quote, a crack back on the butthole Lakers. Alex Anzalone joins me when we come back. The Saints have been lights out, 8 in a row, and they look unstoppable offensively and defensively. They're playing well, too. So we'll have that conversation next. Right now, though, time for a sports update. Here it is. Remember, if you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. We are going to talk some Saints football. I'm efforting, radio and TV term, Alex Anzalone. He's having a big year. They're having a big year. In the meantime, as I'm efforting him, I'm looking at my call screen right here. So that was kind of weird, right? We had a fake Fabian. The fake Fabian. The only thing more bizarre than the fake Fabian is the real Fabian who was listening when the fake Fabian called. And now he's freaking out. So we may or may not get to that because I found my guest, a linebacker for the Saints. Coming off a game where he had 5 tackles and a sack in that beatdown of the Bengals, 51-14. On the season, 29 tackles, 1 interception, 2 forced fumbles. Played his college ball at Florida. He was the 76th pick overall in 2017. The Saints are 8-1. They're first in the NFC South, and they're hosting Philadelphia on Sunday. Critical matchup. Alex Anzalone is my guest. Alex, good to have you on. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, really good. Nice to visit with you. Hey, take me back to Sunday, if you don't mind. Third quarter in particular, you come flying in on a blitz. You get to Andy Dalton. What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to get home?
You know, it was one of those plays where if you see it on film, I pretty much come unblocked. But, you know, my goal was to keep tight to the D lineman as he was going through the A-gap, and I was just able to come free. And, you know, the last second you see – you're about to hit home, and then you finally do, and it feels really good.
Right, so you made a lot of plays of late. Your performance on Sunday continued to run, for instance, of 3 games where you had a forced fumble, an interception, and a sack. You've been making huge plays. Does it feel like something has changed for you, like the game is slowing down, or maybe is it something else?
Not necessarily. I think that, you know, just being placed in the opportunity to make those plays. You know, obviously the interception, I kind of made that play on my own, but you know, so even the forced fumble and maybe the sack per se, but I think that just being in the right place at the right time is what those plays come down to, and you know, let your athletic ability take over.
And then overall, you've won 8 straight games since the opening loss this season, and that's a run that included a statement win over the Rams. So how would you describe the confidence that the team has right now in the way you guys are playing?
You know, we have a lot of confidence right now. I think that, you know, obviously, like you said, the 8-game win streak is big. And, you know, we just take it week in, week out, even though it sounds cliche, but we really do. I think that, you know, Coach Payton does a good job of getting our mindset on each week as its own week. And no other week is more important than the next. So with that mindset, that's how we've had this continued success throughout the year.
Alex Anzalone joining us. You mentioned your coach. Before the game, the fire alarm was going off in the stadium, and then after a while, Sean Payton smashed it himself to get it to stop. Did you see that, and if so, what did you make of that?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it. I saw the picture, the aftermath.
Right.
But, no, I didn't see. I heard about it, but I didn't see anything.
All right, so he's as good as it gets when it comes to head coaches. What's it like to play for him?
It's big time, you know. You know, obviously, when I got drafted to the Saints, I was excited to be coached by him, and you know, obviously, you know, all the success he's had in the past, and you know, he's a guy that is obviously offensive minded, and playing defense, it's a little different. But even so, going against the offense and training camp and in practice throughout the year, you're able to learn a whole ton just by what the offense is trying to do to attack a defense and everything like that. So, you know, and obviously his leadership style is really, really good, you know, with the leaders we have in our locker room and how he allows the players to do some leading and then how he allows, you know, things to go on in the locker room. It's really good.
Alex Anzalone, the Saints, joining us. When you talk about leaders in that locker room, obviously one of the guys who comes to mind is Drew Brees. What's he like as a teammate and a leader?
You know, he's a really good guy. That's number one. You think, I noticed that right away when I first got here. He's a guy that's relatable, even though he's, I forget how old I was when he first got in the league, but I know I was in first or second grade, something crazy like that. So, obviously, there's the age difference for a rookie like I was last year, even a second or third year player. But, you know, he's a guy that's a great leader. He's well-spoken. He's a great football player, obviously, and, you know, someone that has the respect of everyone in the locker room.
All right, so speaking of first grade, you know, put that aside for a minute. What about, like, sixth or seventh grade? Story goes that when you were, like, 12, you wrote a note that read, I'm going to play in the NFL. And then when you were drafted, your mother gave you that note in a frame. First off, do you remember writing that note in the first place?
Yeah, I do, actually. I remember, you know, it's something that I did. I read a couple books about, you know, the power of the spoken word or written word in that case. And, you know, it's something I wanted to do. And, yeah, it was really special. My mom gave that to me on draft day.
Hey, listen, I think we all write things down. We all have goals. We all want things to happen. But that came true. The power of the spoken word manifested itself. So what's it like to play in the NFL knowing that you kept that promise to yourself?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, obviously a lot of people helped me get to where I'm at today. But, you know, the promise I kept to myself was big time. I think that it really proved to me that, you know, you can really do anything you put your mind to. And, you know, it's not, like I said, a lot of the stuff sounds cliche, but it's so true. Like, if I would have never believed that, then this probably wouldn't have happened. And, you know, it's very powerful. And, you know, I'm just glad I'm able to, you know, talk about it today.
Well, it's also not without adversity either. For example, when you were a rookie, you suffered a shoulder injury early in the season, and it seems to me at that point it'd be pretty easy to get frustrated, maybe check out mentally, but you'd show up every single day, you'd do all the rehab, you'd go to the meetings, you'd work out afterwards. I mean, obviously you were frustrated where you were not in a position to contribute, but how important was it to stay that involved with the team, and then what did you learn going through that?
Yeah, it was big time just staying involved. One, just for your own, you know, personal state, mental state, that, you know, you're not checked out or depressed or anything like that, because getting injured sucks. And, you know, again, football taken away from you sucks. But, you know, it was big time. Just as a learning curve for myself, I think that I learned a ton. And as a rookie, I thought I knew a whole lot. You know, I knew the plays and everything and what to do. But, you know, as I continued throughout the season, I learned how to game plan, learned how, you know, what calls are good against different offenses and everything like that. And then, just continue watching film and learning from the guys that are playing. There's something to be said about getting mental reps, even if you're not in the game. So, you know, it just definitely helped me progress to where I'm at today.
I like that, getting mental reps even when you're not playing. Listen, along your journey to the NFL, you played your high school football at Wyomissing, making you, along with Ross Tucker, who is a good friend of the program, one of the legends of Spartan football. What do you remember about your days as a Spartan?
You know, obviously I grew up in Wyomissing, Pennsylvania, born and raised, you know, so it was cool. It was a small town. I grew up with the same guys throughout my whole childhood, and then eventually senior year we won state championship. But, yeah, I remember Ross since I was a little guy. I remember he had a camp at our high school when I was young, and, you know, I remember attending that and, you know, all the signed gloves and everything at the youth football raffles and all that. So, yeah, he's a close friend of mine. You know, we talk pretty frequently.
That's really cool. Listen, you and your fiance Lindsay have been involved with the Animal Rescue of New Orleans. How did you first get involved, and then what's that organization mean to you guys?
Yeah, you know, so I got linked up with them through another organization through the Senior Bowl. And, you know, it was something I'm passionate about, something my fiance is passionate about. And, you know, we got linked up with Animal Rescue of New Orleans, and sometimes we've volunteered there before and helped, you know, take pictures with them and all that type of stuff. And I know last year when it was snowing in New Orleans, surprisingly, you know, they were short on blankets, and because the washer and dryers were full, so we went to the laundromat, got some a bunch of their blankets to do some laundry for them. So it was just cool to help out. You know, it's for a good cause and everything like that. So
it's an awesome cause. New Orleans 8-1. They're first in the NFC South, and they're at home against Philadelphia. Alex Anzalone, my guest. Alex, I appreciate you and you taking time today. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Have a great day. Love that. They're having an amazing year. And that's a good cause. We have a rescue cat. We've got two cats. We have Cody, who's not a rescue cat. And we have Sapphire, who is a rescue cat. And when we lost our cat, we wanted to get another cat, and we couldn't decide between. We only wanted one cat. And then we saw these two cats. You know, Cody, the bad attitude, high price cat. And Sapphire, the super shy rescue cat, who was free. So we decided to get them both. And they both act this. They act who they are. They are what they are. Sapphire acts like the greatest cat ever, the coolest cat ever, the nicest cat ever, the most affectionate cat ever, the most appreciative cat ever, because he was a rescue cat. Cody, on the other hand, costs a hell of a lot of money and seems to know it for some reason. How he knows that, I don't know, but the cat looks right through me. Man, he treats me like garbage. I love this cat. I'll say it for the record. I'm not ashamed to say it. Cody the cat is cool. That ragdoll, he is the coolest cat I know. But man, what a bad attitude. Looks right through me. He looks at me like, yeah, what are you going to do about that, old man? Yeah, that's what I thought. Feed me. Feed me, bitch. Cody, come on, man. Don't be like that. Feed me or I'll eat more plastic and puke all over your house. All right. Take it easy. Cody the ragdoll. All right, so I mentioned that the only thing more bizarre than Fabian, than a fake Fabian calling, is the real Fabian listening when it happened. And he's here right now. Really quickly, some guy pretending to be Fabian called this show and did this. Fabian. Fabian, what's up?
Romy, what's up with that dude, Quadre Addison, man? Doggy Dog says... You know, even way more than I do. What's up with that man? You know.
That was so much funnier the second time I heard that. He's dropping in a doggy dog, and you know. I got to know what the real Fabian thought when he heard the fake Fabian. Let's go there right now. Fabian, what's up, man?
Man, what's cracking? Is the connection all right? Or
yeah, you sound good. Yeah, you're good.
All right. So I'm driving around, bro, right? And, you know, I hear, like, let's go to Fabian, you know, night trip. I'm like, what? And I thought you were going to joke around with, you know, one of my old calls or something, you know? And then I hear this. I don't know what to call that individual. And anyways, dude, I mean, at least you didn't hear my FBI mic impression. You know, that wasn't that bad, you know? At least, you know, kind of sounded like him. But this other cat, he didn't sound like me, bro. And I don't know. I was telling Adam, like, it's easy to get, you know, it's easy to get you, you know?
Good job, Fabian. First of all, Fabian, that's like the best you've ever sounded. That's the best you've ever sounded. He just said, come on, man. Like when I did FBI Mike, I at least sounded like him, but this cat didn't sound like me at all. Let's put that out there to the clones. He sort of sounded like you. Now I knew right away it was not him or you, Fabian, but this is the guy pretending to be Fabian.
Romy, what's up with that dude, Quadre Addison, man? Doggy Dog says... You know, even way more than I do. What's up with that man? You know.
That cat's funny. Fabian might not have thought so, but if that's funny three times in, that's funny. He's like, Doggy Dog says, you know. He says, you know, more than I do. You know. We are done now. Fabian's tripping like, I thought he was going to go to my fake call, but it was really a dude, and I'm not talking to Rome, yet there's some guy named Fabian who is. Man, I'm tripping. My thanks to Mike Holmgren, Quadri Olsen, Alex Anzalone. Good interview day. The XR4TI as well. Thank you all for listening, clones. Don't forget, got a good podcast for you tomorrow. Another good show for you tomorrow as well. Have a tremendous day. James Kelly stepping in for Alvy. Hey, clones, get at Alvy on Twitter. He's gone radio silent. I want to know what's going on with Alvy and Mill in Rome, Italy. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.